Is conflict destroying relationships in your community? Are offenses creating division? Feeling at a loss as a leader? What if I told you there is a way to grow through conflict rather than be destroyed by it? Conflict is inevitable whenever humans are in communion together. However, it can be an opportunity for growth rather than a cause for division. While it may not be easy, by following God's principles, it is possible to find a way through conflict and experience God's blessing.
Hello, and thanks for joining She Leads by Faith podcast. We are the homeschool community builders. I'm Pam Kafer, along with Molly Kitzmiller and Hannah Larson, and we are here helping homeschool leaders grow lasting community built on Christ, connection, and strong leadership.
Are you or your kids feeling isolated and discouraged, even though you're in a homeschool group or co-op? Or are you homeschooling by yourself and desire a like-minded Christian community? Is the Holy Spirit prompting you to build an authentic community for your family? There are families waiting for you to answer the call. We know that the thought of starting your own group that truly meets your needs can be overwhelming. You are not alone. We are here to come alongside you.
We are three homeschool moms and co-op leaders with over 30 years of experience between us, leading thriving homeschool groups. We have answered the call to obediently step out in faith and trust God's plan. We have learned many lessons along the way, and we want to help you have a smooth journey so that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. If you're ready for lasting community built on Christ, connection, and servant leadership, this podcast is for you. Pop in your earbuds, keep your notebook handy, and be encouraged. You can do this. We are here for you.
Hello, friends. Pam here with Molly and Hannah. Thanks for joining us on part two of our series about handling conflict. In part one, we discussed five reasons that you need a conflict policy. If you're not already convinced that you need a conflict policy, please go back and listen to episode 17. Today, we're going to read through an example conflict policy so you can see how this powerful tool might be used to master conflict in your community. So this is a conflict policy that Molly and Hannah use in their community to deal with offenses and things that come up. So you want to share with us, Molly, about how you guys came about this and how to use it?
You bet. So we arrived at this policy over a pretty long period of time because we had some conflict our first year and we didn't have a policy in place. We kind of had in general just an idea that, well, we should use Matthew 18, that if somebody needs to be corrected, you go to them first alone and you speak to them as a brother. And then if that doesn't work, you take someone else with you. And what we found was that really was not sufficient to deal with the problems that we had, that we needed to back up and start before you go to someone. What do you do before that? Because there's a way to approach a conflict that will bring about reconciliation, and there's other ways that will just bring about defensiveness and squaring off. So we talked and talked and prayed and discussed and went through many drafts of a policy. And this is what we landed on. And we have tweaked it since the first time that we laid it out. But in the last year or so, at least, we have found it to be very useful in helping to deal with the conflicts that have come up. So what we want to do is read the beginning of it, and then we'll kind of talk about how we came up with this introduction that we're going to read to you. So I'm just going to start with the first paragraph. As a community of believers, we believe that we are all individually accountable to God for our actions, 2 Corinthians 5:10. But we are also aware that our actions in community necessarily affect those around us. Ephesians 4:15-16. We are free in Christ, yet we choose to be slaves of Christ. We daily surrender our right to be offended.
our desire to be validated, and our impulse to find justice on our own behalf. Rather, we consider others before ourselves, seeking forgiveness and peace, in faith, trusting God to meet our needs. Our code of conduct states in part, we strive to honor God in our actions and interactions. We love, honor, and respect one another. When others offend us, we forgive them as the Lord has forgiven us. Colossians 3:13. As such, we use these guidelines as a process to help members of our community resolve conflict when it arises. We believe that we must first and foremost approach one another with 1. Trust, giving the other party the benefit of the doubt and thinking the best of their intentions rather than the worst. 2. Humility, a willingness to listen to the other side and consider my part in the conflict. And finally, 3. Forgiveness, a desire to reconcile and continue in community with one another. So that's a whole lot. So let's unpack that a little bit.
I really love what you have here, Molly and Hannah, because it just lays it out. It kind of tells the why. If you are a Christ-centered co-op, if you are Christian, that first paragraph is all about what we believe as Christians, that we surrender our right to defend ourselves. We surrender our right to be offended and that to be validated. And it just wraps it up in a really nice package that we're trusting that God will meet our needs and we don't have to fight for our needs to be met.
Yes.
And it is counter to everything that we feel, right? When we're in conflict, it feels yucky and we feel like all these feelings that we want to change because we don't want those feelings to happen. And then we take over and we take control. So I love that this first paragraph just really reminds us of who we are in Christ, who God is, and how we should behave. It comes in that second paragraph with those three things of trust, humility, and forgiveness.
Right. And I think that it was hard to write this because it's so counter to our culture that we've been told and we are told all the time, stand up for your rights, defend yourself, you know, speak out, don't let somebody put you down. And unfortunately, the Bible doesn't tell us that actually. And it's really hard to swallow sometimes, but especially within a community of believers, like we have to take up our cross and follow what Christ has told us to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, just a word on the three things that you approach a conflict with: trust, humility, and forgiveness. It takes a minute to step back from a conflict and think the best of another person, to decide that even if this conflict is not decided in my favor or according to what I want, that I still want to be in community with this person. That's a big ask as well. It really puts your values on the line. It kind of is where the rubber meets the road. Are you willing to give up your rights, to work things out? It doesn't mean compromising your values. That's not what this message is. It's about being willing to not draw lines where God doesn't draw lines. It's holding a line that is scriptural, but not just because I want something or I don't know.
Well, I would say it's not just having it our way.
Yeah.
But bringing others into this, and not just others, but the Bible into this and God's word and his instruction. So I love that there's a lot of scripture that is quoted in here. This is rooted in scripture. This isn't just something flowery that we came up with.
No.
Everything is from the word of God to give us direction. When we're triggered, we're not thinking, oh, I need to do these hard things. We're often reactionary.
Mm-hmm.
But this helps us to take a step back and remember what's most important, that we are to be servants of Christ, not to be in pursuit of proving that we are right or have mm-hmm. things our way.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because that is self-sufficiency, and that's not godly. I mean, he doesn't love that, right? One of the things that I love is that you have trust, giving the other party the benefit of the doubt and thinking the best of their intentions rather than the worst. And I think when we have conflict and we have an offense that happens and those emotions come up, it's really good that you have this in here to remind you. In fact, we had a conflict between parents at our co-op, and we came down, we sat down together, and the very first thing that one of the parents said was, "Are you thinking the best of me?" That's mm-hmm. the person wanted to sit down, as long as the other person was going to think the best of them, you know, was going to trust that they had the best intentions. And it really kind of diffused the situation right off the bat,
mm-hmm.
because it kind of made you go, oh, wait a minute, because you're coming in with these emotions that you have this mental imagery in your mind as to what happened, and you're coming in and you might feel charged, you know, because of the perspective that you have in that moment. So laying that foundation right when you sit down, reminding them, hey, slow down. Like, are you thinking the best of me right now, mm-hmm. before we even start this conversation? So I love that that is first. And then, because it puts the brakes on those emotions.
Yeah.
And then two, nothing is going to work unless both parties are humble and willing to work through it. The whole premise of this conflict policy, I love it because it puts the problem in the front instead of the person is the problem. It's the person is the person that you love, your fellow trust, or that your fellow Christian that you trust, mm-hmm. and you put that the problem in front of you, both agreeing to be humble and willing to listen and then offer forgiveness and reconciliation where it needs to happen. So I love this so much. Good job, you guys.
Thanks. I wanted to say one other thing about the foundation of this also, is that this is assuming you are in community with believers. Like, that's the community that we're with. And so the board is not responsible to slap anybody's hand or bring out the whip and go, "You're wrong, you're wrong." We are all adults and believers in Christ. And so we're each responsible for our own behavior. So by laying this out, it puts the onus on the individual to own their own behavior. And it takes it off of the board or the leadership to be in a position of spanking, basically, because that's not our job. The Holy Spirit is going to convict our members, and we're there to point to the policy, point to Scripture. It's not because the board is right. We're pointing them back to what God says. So take it up with God if you don't like it, right? If it's...
Email God about your complaint.
It takes us out of the position, yeah, as leaders of being a referee also, right? Yeah. Like, no one enjoys that role as a parent, you know, when your kids are bickering back and forth, playing referee. This really does put the responsibility of tackling the conflict with the people that are directly involved with the conflict.
And it gives everybody a guide to go by.
Yeah. And yes. And I love that it reminds us of who we are in Christ and how we should act in Christ. Because when you're in conflict, like I said, those feelings, they get you going, and then you forget. And
yeah,
we all just suck at it. And we just have to know that everybody sucks at it. And so we need conflict policies to help us not suck, to love each other better.
Yeah.
So you have on here, if you've been hurt by an individual or offended, there's steps that you take. So what are these steps?
Do you want to start on those, Hannah?
Sure, I'd love to. So if you have been hurt by another individual or offended, step one is do not share your feelings with anyone else, and please do not gossip to anyone else in the community. Proverbs 26:20 and Proverbs 21:23. But be ready to go directly to the person who has offended you. If you need to talk about it with a friend or your husband or someone else that you trust, as often as we do in order to gain perspective, please choose a friend from outside of the community. Do not post anything on a public forum. So that's the first step, is to keep it in confidence while you have some time. You can get some guidance from someone else, but not within the community, because we don't want to have a situation where people are picking sides, because that creates a lot of division in a community.
And this isn't to say that nobody has the right to be hurt, right? If we've been hurt, people have real feelings and they get hurt. Like, my feelings are hurt and I want to say something to somebody and I want to talk about it. That is totally natural and totally normal, but please just go talk to somebody outside the community and don't post anything. Don't email anything. Don't post anything on Band. Don't post anything on Facebook. You'd be surprised at how quick people will pick up an offense and write about it somewhere, which is just, it just adds fuel to the fire. So, first step is,
for sure,
don't.
And it is also an influence from the outside world. That's what our culture does. Our culture wants to blast something out on social media so that they can feel heard and validated, but it really doesn't do anything productive. So I love that there's the word perspective in this first one, because two people can experience the exact same thing and have different perspective. Mm-hmm. You can't take on conflict or master conflict when you're trying to prove perspective, because you will just put the thing on trial and everybody will try to prove their point with the facts that they have, that, and you'll never get beyond the issue. It can't be on perspective.
Yeah.
It has to be on those foundational beliefs as Christians to try to reconcile and get beyond it.
Yeah.
Number two,
if you have been hurt by another individual or offended, is before talking to them about it, ask yourself, am I being easily offended? Proverbs 19:11. Have I considered the plank in my own eye, or is there something I have done that needs to be forgiven or that contributed to this situation? Matthew 7:1-5.
Like I always say to my kids, an argument takes two people. You know, so they'll be arguing. I'm like, stop arguing. And one of them will be, I'm not arguing. Well, I'm not arguing. He was arguing. Well,
yeah, now you're arguing with him and you're arguing with me. So you're double arguing now.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you're getting double the punishment.
But there's, I think that always takes two parties, right?
Yes. And we're so quick to find the fault in others, but we really need to see, what part am I playing in this? What is my involvement? How can I hold accountability for my choices and behavior?
Yeah.
That's really important. It's part of being humble when you are coming to someone and saying, okay, I recognize this is where I failed or wasn't my best self or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that there can be more of a meeting together versus pointing a finger in accusation at someone.
Yeah.
The other thing that this particular number two does is it helps people to switch from being offended to being curious. Because oftentimes we're offended because we don't have the whole story. We don't have the whole picture. And we're filling in with our imagination some of the things that we think is going on, or that we're filling in what we think other people people think about us or the situation or our kids or whatever. And I found that what diffuses that the best is being curious and asking more questions. So if you can start by asking yourself, am I being offended here? What is the lie that is being, that the enemy is trying to make me believe, that my voice doesn't matter, or that, you know, my kid doesn't matter? Usually that's what gets people's goats, right? They feel like their kid is being somehow has an injustice done to them. So being, rather than being offended, be curious. Start asking questions so that you really have that posture of wanting to know what is going on, so that you can, one, change something in yourself if you need to, and take accountability for your part of something, because you didn't intend to hurt somebody or offend somebody. But if you did, you want to take your part in it. And if not, find out if is some of this somebody else's stuff, that there might not even be something that you can do about that. But the curiosity will help diffuse it.
Yeah. In order to be curious, you have to be willing to give the benefit of the doubt also.
Yes.
Yeah. It comes back to those three parts from that paragraph before that.
Yep. Okay. So the third one, wait 24 hours before saying anything. Sometimes all that's needed to get over a perceived offense is time and perspective. Consider reading the scriptures in this document and praying. This is huge, because if sometimes we can take offense, if we take a deep breath, step back, hold our tongue, wait 24 hours, our own brains will tell us, once we get our lid back on, right? Once our lid is not flipped and we're not in fight or flight mode, and we're not in this panic mode or whatever, our own brains will tell us that was not that big a deal. And you can maybe laugh it off. You can go to that person without so much emotion. And you can find common ground, right? It doesn't, you don't have to make a big deal out of a small thing. And sometimes it's only time that takes care of that.
I would say it's important within those 24 hours not to stew and let the pressure continue to build for 24 hours, which is why we have the note to consider reading scriptures and praying over this, because you want to diffuse those feelings so that you're not so reactionary, not just have 24 hours to continue building your case.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and I love how in the first point you have talked to somebody, because we often like to process out loud. And so if you can talk to your husband or you can talk to somebody outside of the community, sometimes you just need to process through something verbally. I think it's just common sense. Wait 24 hours before saying anything. It's great advice.
But just because it's common sense doesn't mean that it's easy.
That's true.
Right. And it's
simple, but not easy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So then number four, after 24 hours, if you have prayed, you've considered, and you still need to talk to that person, please reflect on the order of events and why you are offended. Try to give the benefit of the doubt and assume that the person did not offend you on purpose. But if approached with the knowledge of their offense, they will be repentant. So I don't know how many times it's happened to you guys, but it has happened to me before where I have given an offense to someone and had no idea. And when that person brought that to me, I was so thankful that I knew, because then I could try to correct it. I could do something to show that I didn't intend to offend. And it's kind of a second chance. It's a grace to the person who you think has offended you on purpose. So it's like a second chance that you're offering the person. So if you've been offended, give that person a chance to unoffend you. I don't know, to undo it, to reverse and back up and go, I'm so sorry, I had no idea. This is what I was thinking, or whatever. So often that happens.
Well, you're going to want that opportunity too.
Yeah.
It could be a simple misunderstanding.
Right.
And so, you know, instead of assuming someone's intent, you're giving an opportunity to say, hey, you know, this bugged me and here's why or whatnot. And then your relationship can be that much closer because you're coming together to work through that and getting to know each other better through conflict.
Yep.
I have to tell you guys, I am the master of offending people. And so I love this because I need a lot of grace, and I'm really excited to be able to give people grace because I really hope that they would remember and then give me grace after I've been offensive. So I like that.
I tend to stick my foot in my mouth too often, Pam.
I think we all just need to be offended more.
Get more practice, right?
Yeah, we just need more practice.
Uh-huh.
We should just offend each
There's
other more.
There's something to that, honestly.
We would master it. We think it's not supposed to happen, that's why.
Right.
So it always takes us off guard, and then our emotions get involved.
Yeah.
So let's go on to number five. Number five says, to talk to the person directly. Oh, scary. Face-to-face is best, or over the phone. But please do not text them or use other electronic communication. Matthew 18:15 specifically says, do not use electronic communication. It's
That's
biblical.
Right.
It's biblical.
Oh, but it's so huge, right? Because we all know it's so easy to just go off in an email or a text. But if you're face to face with that person, you're going to choose your words much more carefully.
Well, and there's a lot that's lost. I mean, tone, inflection, just looking someone in the eye, you can see the care in someone's face, you know, when you're having a face-to-face conversation. But boy, things can really get mixed up over just written text or email.
Yeah.
Intentions are very easily misconstrued in written communication.
Yep.
And on top of that, it'll get prolonged because now this person sat there for a half hour writing their email, and now this person's going to respond to me. It's just going to keep like going back and forth and back and forth. And then it's days, weeks go by, and you're still like communicating via email or text. No, get it over with. Just
pick up the phone.
I know it's so scary, you guys. It is scary. It is facing those deep down broken places inside of us. And God is just asking us to surrender that over to Him, to trust Him that He will fulfill those needs, that He will take care of you, even if the worst thing happens. Especially as leaders, you could be faced with having to lose a friend or doing what God says to do. And those can be really scary things. You got to just trust that if you obey Him, that you will experience His blessings. I know it's opposite of what the world tells you to do. The world tells you avoid conflict, just go your separate ways, do this, you know, but you're in community with these people. You have an obligation to do things the right way, to do things God's way. So this is, all right, so number six. Hopefully you will be able to resolve the conflict with these steps and come to a resolution through conversation with the person involved. If this does not work and the conflict continues, the Bible says to then involve another person or two and go to your brother or sister who has offended you and try again. Take someone who you trust is a truth speaker and will help you see your fault if there is any. That's Matthew 18:15 through 16.
So the conflicts that we have dealt with that have been, that have taken the steps 1 through 5 have all been able to be resolved. They haven't had to go to another person and grab somebody else and do that. it's going to be the unusual conflict that if the parties have actually gone through steps 1 through 5, that will continue. But it's possible that it will. We have had other conflicts that I think the steps 1 through 5, you have to be sincere about. And if there's a lack of sincerity, it can continue, obviously. There has to be in your policy contingencies for what if 1 through 5 doesn't work? What are you going to do next?
Mm-hmm. And I have done this a few times in our community, been a mediator. And sometimes people just need that because mm-hmm. they just need to, their emotions start taking them down a road that is not right, not truthful, you know, believing those lies or just, and you just kind of need somebody in the middle that can give the right perspective. That's not going to take sides perchance, but basically like help them to stay in their lane.
Yeah.
And not make it personal or, you know, just help nudge them back towards one another.
And that person should be, like it says in the policy, a truth speaker, but also I think like what you have recognized, Pam, somebody who will not take sides and who can guide the process. It's not someone who's just going to echo, like if I'm in the conflict, I'm going to grab my best friend who's just going to echo all my points. No, that's not the person that you need. You need somebody objective who can try to meet in the middle. Yep, okay, so number 7 and 8, these are pretty specific to our community, but it's just an example of what might be in a policy. So number 7 says, if the conflict exists between a mentor and a parent, the parent should not be in the mentor's class until the conflict is resolved. Romans 12:14-21. So in our community, we call our teachers in the classroom mentors. And then we have other parents that aren't necessarily mentoring, but sit in the class and they're helping the mentor. If there's a conflict between that mentor and a parent, we just felt like it would be better if they're not in the same room, sort of increasing the tension while the mentor is trying to lead that class. So that's why we put this step in here.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. You don't want the kids involved. You don't want things to progress in a negative way. Yeah, when there's interaction and they can't be resolving it in that moment, it doesn't make sense for them to be together.
Right. There's a time and a place to deal with the conflict, but in class is not that time. So
and creating some space mm-hmm. is a good thing. And if we're at this point in the conflict and there still isn't resolution, then space is very healthy.
Yeah, I know I wouldn't want to be teaching a class and have somebody's burning eyes on me while I'm trying to teach a class.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's just if this conflict's going on between two people in the community, it's a way to try not to involve everybody else in the community in the conflict as well, right? Like we're trying to minimize the effects on everybody else. So that's just one of the steps that we thought was wise.
And then number 8 is, if this still does not work, please come to the director with all of the information of what has happened and request board intervention. So this is the last ditch effort that notice is not up at the beginning because we want to give ample opportunity for the parties involved to work out their conflict. But in the very rare case where that's not working well, then this is the last step to involve mm-hmm. those in leadership to help sort things out.
Yeah, because we want people to learn how to deal with their conflict themselves in a godly manner. Anybody who goes through that process grows from it, learns from it, becomes a better person from it. And so we have made the mistake in the past of the board stepping in too soon. And then the board is accused of taking sides, of being heavy-handed. And frankly, it doesn't give the Holy Spirit much time or place to work on people's hearts himself. And we don't want to step into that role if we are not called to that.
Well, and not to mention that it is a huge time investment and energy investment at that point to have the leadership team involved. At that point, there's usually lots of conversations happening and trying to find times to meet together. And that's why it's the last step, not an early on step. We learned that through trial and error. And I think we've come to a very good place with this in our as step number 8.
Yep.
I love this conflict policy so much. And the other thing is, once you get the board involved, the likelihood of a policy or a rule being made now because of a circumstance that's happened goes way up, which I don't like rules. And nobody else does either, you know. So if everybody can deal with their offenses and their conflicts, their misunderstandings, their hurt feelings with this simple method, simple, not easy. It's scary. It's hard. It's the most scary thing, which is why people don't do it and they avoid it, is because you never know. I think this is why. Anyway, I don't know for sure, but I think it's because when you have to have a conversation with somebody, it's unpredictable. You don't know exactly what the outcome is. You can do all of the right things and the person could still be offended. You could do all the right things and you could still be offended. You just don't know. But that's why we are in community and we are able to have those opportunities to work out our faith. Because that is where our faith grows. That is where our spirituality develops, is those little opportunities to humble ourselves and be obedient to what God says. All of the scripture is in here, that you guys, Proverbs 19:11 says, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. It's your glory to overlook an offense. Put all of these things into practice. Let us know. Go to our Facebook page. We have our free Facebook page. We'll put it down there in the show notes. We want to hear from you. What kind of conflicts are you guys having? What struggles are you having in your communities? We'd love to speak into those struggles and help you. Trust the process, you guys. You can do it.
All right.
We'll see you next time. Wait, before we go, Molly, can I just pray over our listeners?
Yep.
Father, Lord, I just lift up whoever is listening now, whoever might be going through some conflict, that you would just give them the confidence, help them to trust you, Lord, with your ways, help them to have peace about what to do. And Lord, give them the courage to do that. Father, help them to walk through it so that they might be fulfilled on the other end, that they might walk in your blessings, and that their friendships and their relationships would be healed, reconciled, and even deepened through their conflict. Lord, I just pray over them, and I just pray that you would just bless their communities immensely through this conflict policy, Lord, that you would just help them to thrive. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen.
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 Tune back in next week for part 3 of our conflict series, in which we talk about what does the policy say to do if someone comes to you and says that you have offended them. What should you do in that case? So tune back in. We pray that this has blessed you and helps you with any conflicts that are happening in your community. Please join us in our Facebook group, and we look forward to seeing you.
Hey, thanks for listening. If you found this podcast helpful, applicable, or encouraging in any way, the best way to thank us is to share it with someone who might benefit and to write a review. Here's how to do it from Apple Podcasts. Right now, exit the show you're currently in, then select the library icon on the bottom of the screen. Then select Shows. From there, click on the She Leads by Faith podcast thumbnail. Scroll down until you see ratings and review, then click on Write a Review, which is just below. Tell us what you think. We would love to hear how it helped.